It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning February 16th, 2024. Where do we get our news anyway? In the convoluted and disputatious environment of today's media, the jagged territory of fake news accusations, self-confirming echo chambers, artificial so-called intelligence, just where do Americans turn for their news? What sources do they trust? Even as the digital revolution has gathered pace through the past two decades or more, not least the explosion of online social networks, I've been somewhat surprised to see, whenever I've checked on serious studies probing our country's media consumption, just how stubbornly static one assessment has remained. Studies have shown Americans as continuing to rely largely on their local TV stations for their view of the world. That has been true, but there are signs now that, inevitably, you might say, it is becoming less true. And for now, I'm not talking about what people tell pollsters about their habits, which we all know may not necessarily be the truth. I'm looking at supposedly more objective, hard data, just whose TV is turned on, at what time and to what channel. This rather mechanical, certainly electronic, data-driven approach is a slightly more reliable guide than polling, but it is subject to its own uncertainties, of course. A TV set could at times be squawking along to itself in an empty room, for instance. But one broad truth seems very clear now. The audience for news on TV is crumbling. Not dramatically, but substantially. Early evening news stays at the top, slightly above late evening news, and considerably higher now than morning news. Something over 3 million Americans are watching their local stations' early evening bulletins on any given night. That's almost a million down from a decade ago. I'd hasten to add that this doesn't sound a tolling bell of doom for local stations. They survive, of course, on advertising revenue, and this shows little sign yet of falling off seriously. It is, of course, an election year, and political advertising is flooding across local screens and filling up the company's coffers. We have to wait and see what any political calm after the storm, if there is one, might bring in 2025. I'm grateful to the Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. for most of the numbers I'm quoting today. The center is dedicatedly nonpartisan and dates from pretty much the beginning of the Internet age, its founding director being the late Andrew Kohut, who was, until his death in 2015, known as America's pioneering pollster, and I think he liked this label, the country's leading connoisseur of public opinion. The center continues his devotion to the mission of understanding, as well as we possibly can, our nation's media audiences. As Andrew was always careful to point out, we're mostly dealing with intangibles here, struggling to find working rules of thumb among the morass of sometimes highly subjective expressions of feeling. But let's home in on that possibly most difficult of questions. Which sources does the American news-consuming public most rely on? The answer is perfectly obvious, you might well say. It depends on who you ask. Well, you're right, but broadly, when they're asked where they turn for news, a large majority, 86% of Americans, now say it's their digital devices that they prefer, compared with the long traditional but now smaller majority of 62% who still prefer the TV set. By comparison, radio broadcasts and print publications are both decidedly lower, at respectively around 50% and 37%. If you're troubled, by the way, about these figures totaling way more than 100% if you put them together, please don't be. We're talking preferences here. The numbers are not exclusive of each other. No one says they get their news only from one single medium, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Though we can possibly imagine there might be such monomaniacal people. Maybe you even know some. And, of course, what the numbers don't explain, because they can't, is how many people might, for instance, be watching a news item that originates from a TV broadcast, but they consume it while online, clicking through to the TV show's website or its YouTube channel and the like. TikTok, for instance. And across those broad preferences, what emerges from the data? There's one pretty fundamental uncertainty we journalists feel a need to have cleared up if we can. It's sort of existential to our profession. How much do people care about following the news anyway, whichever medium they might use? The answer is sobering. In 2016, the year you'll doubtless recall, when Donald Trump won the presidency, 51% of US adults said they followed the news all or most of the time. But since then, that share has fallen to 38%. Drilling down a bit for more detail, some rather dispiriting data reveal that the audience's age matches all too obviously and neatly with its attention to news. If we're 65 or older, 65% of us will follow the news most or all of the time. Only 20% or less of those around 20 years of age will do so. And the trend over time is perhaps even more discouraging. In between those two age spans I just mentioned, the demographic group we have conventionally seen as being at the peak point of their lives, in their working and decision-making, I mean, of course, the 30 to 50-year-olds, they have shown a strikingly large slump since 2016, down by 20%, or 1 in 5, among a population that has been seen as the most active politically. There may be some hope, though, in that the youngest group, from the voting age of 18 up to 30, is now just starting to show an uptick in following the news, at the bottom of the scale, but suddenly pointing upward. It is there, evidently, that some hope, as I say, may lie. But as for the audience's political positioning, a topic which always suggests we need a whole new program to cover it, and one day soon I imagine I will, there is more unsurprising evidence. The decline in Americans' attention to the news is especially steep among Republicans and those independents who lean toward the Republican Party. 67% of this group said back in 2016 that they fully followed the news, and most recently that has dropped to 37%, a sizable decrease there of 20 points. Democrats and Democrat-leaning Americans have meanwhile remained pretty steady, although they too have dropped slightly, maybe enough to be significant, maybe not, at 7%. I will refrain from commenting on these party political differences. Let me switch instead to a truth that remains unchanging. However much or little interest audiences may express about the news, news gatherers still need to go about our business. I want to highlight one example of such work. In days now gone, when the media beat was the work of two of us, the late and greatly lamented Marshall Miles and myself, we would occasionally highlight pieces of journalism that were especially worth the audience's attention. We would celebrate it with our not entirely solemn use of a bold fanfare, like this. The media beat fanfare this week is for a broadcast on the NPR network. NPR is, of course, one medium among those media I mentioned earlier that are suffering audience losses. Not just radio, but public radio at that. I'll also declare a personal interest. Full disclosure, Robin Hood Radio, the station from which this broadcast, podcast, comes to you, is part of our NPR network. The radio story I want to commend comes from reporter Brian Mann, who used to cover northern New York State, but nowadays he can be heard reporting from various parts of the world, perhaps notably and compellingly in recent dispatches from Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas war. But he is officially NPR's addiction correspondent, a specialty he first developed at North Country Radio. It's a telling sign of the times when such a journalistic post is necessary. For this week, he made a piquant and compelling report comparing two locations 4,000 miles apart. It's a smart storyteller's choice to compare drug addiction in the state of New Jersey and in the country of Portugal, each roughly comparable in the size of their populations. Portugal's approach to addiction shifted in the late 90s, when, like many Western countries, it began experiencing a serious opioid emergency. Rather than follow the American war on drugs model, which, I quote, focused on arresting people, often giving them lengthy prison sentences, such was Mann's pithy narration, instead, Portugal prioritized health care. And Mann takes as the central microcosm for his story a clinic that's part of the nationwide network of addiction services provided by Portugal's state-funded national healthcare system. That is one of the fundamental differences between that country and the US. No one in Portugal has to pay individually for addiction care. It's a world away from what Mann calls, speaking from long repertorial experience very clearly, the scramble to navigate the complicated, costly, and often poorly regulated recovery system that we have in the US. And the net result of the two different approaches? As Mann bluntly points out, in New Jersey, about 3,000 people die of a drug overdose every year, while in Portugal, the entire country sees just 80 deaths in an average year. 80. This is excellent broadcast journalism. I suggest you check out the full story posted online at the NPR site under the show Morning Edition. That's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.